Welcome to the Second Mile Church Podcast, where we believe deeper friendships, a bigger God, and fuller lives in Christ are found in the second mile.
Good morning, church. Are y'all still awake after those two rousing? Wow, I see what I have to compete with. I have a question for you to think about. In the chaotic world that we live in, what or who can we really trust? I don't know if you can see this, especially from the nosebleed section. It's a dollar bill. And once upon a time, we could put our trust in this, that there was gold in Fort Knox that would back it up. And even the rest of the world put their trust and confidence in the dollar bill. But since the 1930s, our dollar bill has lost 92% of its purchasing value, which leaves us with only 8% or 8 cents. Not much that you can buy with that. So let us look at the idea of trust. Some of the trust means a firm belief in the reliability or the truth or the ability or the strength of someone or something. Examples of things that we have trusted in the past are objects. We hope that chair will hold us up. We truly hope when we're going over a high bridge that it'll hold the weight. Or we could have faith like Noah, get on a wooden boat with two termites. Took you a while, didn't it? There's institutions that we once had confidence in, banks, government, but we no longer have our confidence anymore, especially in this nation. There are systems that as Americans we used to trust in, our medical systems for safe care. Now we don't know if the medicine we're going to get is contaminated, or the vaccines are healthy and safe, or the doctors are reliable. Our faith in our school system and our universities once was based on Judeo-Christian foundations, now are replaced with humanistic ideas. And then there's that difficult area of people. You know, you can trust in the wrong things or wrong people, and it can be very costly. Close relationships that we thought were reliable have been torn apart by divorce, deceit, greed, and self-centeredness. And even in the church, some of the trusted religious leaders that we esteemed have fallen. So how do we find something or someone we can trust in or that's trustworthy? On the back of this devalued 8-cent piece of paper, there's a comment. Does anybody know what it is? It lines up with scripture. In God we trust. Surprise, it's still there. The Bible, depending on the translation you go to, referenced trust over 200 times. In Psalms 9:10, the Amplified says, "And those who trust in your name or who have experienced your mercy will put their confident trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not abandoned those who seek you." The Passion Translation says something like this: "Those who trust in the Lord can count on him no matter what." In Scripture, to know someone's name means you know their character. And this occurs, think about people that you've really come to trust. You learn to trust them by spending time with them in their presence, not on the telephone or not on Facebook, but face to face. We learn who God is by knowing what his word says about him. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your money, your thoughts, no, your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. So to really trust somebody, there's got to be heart involvement, your emotions. Except for maybe a child-parent relationship, most of the relationships where we come to trust someone, like through dating or coworker or whatever, is we have to spend time with them to get to know them. And we rarely do that with just our thought, I think that might be a good person to trust. There's some benefits, according to Scripture, with trusting God. The first one is, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence, in Jeremiah 17:7. Isaiah 12:2 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. And Psalms 125:1 says, I will not be defeated. So the next time you're being plagued by the enemy, remember these verses. He provides protection. Nahum 1:7 says, he is a strong refuge when trouble comes. He's close to those who trust in him. Psalms 44 says, oh, the joys of those who trust in the Lord. He provides for us. Psalms 34:1, talking about the young lions, and said, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Doesn't mean you won't lack anything. No good thing, because he knows what you need. Isaiah 40:31 is one of my favorite verses over the years. It says, he renews our strength to soar like eagles, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. And according to Proverbs 3:6, God gives direction and decisions we have to make as we trust in him. Maybe one of the reasons this topic came to me, or the Lord brought it to my mind and put in value, we think we trust God, but till we're tested, we don't always really know how great our trust in his is. My husband Ron and I moved to Wilmington in July of 2018, right before Florence. Between November 2018 and July 2021, I lost 5 close personal family members. My mom, who was my prayer partner for years, most of my life. My father-in-law, my husband of 45 years. My father, and my only son-in-law. The hardest of that loss was my husband, of course. He and I ministered together for over 40-some years. Of the 45 years we were married. We moved here to be close to our daughters because he developed pancreatic cancer. After about 2 years of battling chemo and all the stuff that went on, pain and everything, issues, I became, about 6 weeks before he passed, I became very weary and tired of the struggle and the battle, and I just wanted to sit down and have a come-to-Jesus meeting with God. So one morning, as I went during my devotion time, I was getting ready, you know, because we believed God. We believed in divine healing. Ron listened to each night for over a year, healing scriptures constantly to keep his faith built up. We would declare the word of God over him. We had people lay hands with oil and anoint him to pray for him. And, you know, I was just, God, what's going on? Why are we not getting any answers? No change in his condition. And as I started to ask God these questions that morning, he stopped me with this question. Adina, do you love me or do you trust me? And I wanted to say, well, yes, Lord. I mean, you know, it's easy. I love you. I've trusted you all my life. But your words, and he said, well, if you trust me, why don't you release Ron to me and let me decide how and when and the time he's going to go? I struggled a little bit about that. Then I remembered back all the years and all the times that I trusted God and he had been faithful. I remembered what his word said about his character and his trustworthiness. And then I thought about a few of the times that I didn't trust him. So I kind of took a breath and I paused and I said, Lord, I submit Ron Letier into your hands to do with how, when, whatever, your will be done. I kid you not, from that moment through the next 6 weeks when we dealt with PTSD, when Ron didn't remember who I was and thought I was holding his prisoner, he'd been a Navy SEAL in Vietnam, to the struggles of medications and laying 8 days unconscious in hospice, through his funeral, through all the plans and stuff that comes when you have a death of a spouse, for almost a year, it was like God wrapped me in a blanket of peace and kept me. To the point when I went to some grief share groups and I listened to people, you know, crying and bemoaning the death of their loved one, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? I almost felt guilty because I wasn't grieving in such anguish because of the peace of God and how God kept me. In the last 4 years since my husband passed, I can say that I have experienced more miracles because I had to trust in God. I couldn't say, hey, Ron, will you take care of this? My challenge to you for 2024, one, spend time with him to know who he is. We make priorities and we set appointments with doctors and lawyers and bosses and stuff like that, and we keep them. But we can't make an appointment with our Heavenly Father for 15 minutes a day. We need to think about that. And number two, learn to place value on developing your heart trust. You know how a little child come along and jump into daddy's arms and not be afraid? God wants us to be like that with him, where we trust him regardless of the good times or the bad times, because we know he's faithful. And I guarantee you, it's easier if you learn to trust God in the good times. So when the bad times come, you already know you can. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for those. I thank you, Lord, that you're a gracious God, that you are trustworthy. Your word declares it over and over again. Experience teaches us, if we walk with you, that you are faithful. And Lord, I pray for those that have never really gotten to know you well enough to trust you. Maybe they say it with their mouth, but when the difficulty comes, it becomes hard. I ask that your love overwhelm them, just like Eric says happened to him. Lord, that they will see you for who you are and come to rely on you. And Lord, for those of us who maybe think we trust God, but we've not been tested, or even especially, Lord, for those whose hearts have been broken by people or circumstances, or even through prayers that were unanswered. Lord, I ask that you bring healing and let them know that you are trustworthy and that you're willing to do exceedingly abundantly what they even think or ask this coming year, as we trust you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, text YES to 910-537-5773. We have some tools to help you on this new journey. If you would like to know more about Second Mile Church, text CONNECT to 910-537-5773. Thank you for going the second mile with us, and now it's time for you to go the second mile in your life.